God is in control. Sometimes it's good to be reminded of this fact and to re-enter into living a life with that being at the very core. I mean, how often in life do we struggle when we let the ways of this world dictate how we should be living? That we need to be striving for success. That what happens rests on our shoulders. That we need to be the ones that go out there, that get what we want. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. Do you ever feel like this? Do you ever realize how untrue that view is? Psalm 71, which we read part of today, it says that, "In your heart, O Lord, I will put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me." How often do we put our trust in others? How often do we look to them to be helping us out, organizing things for us, dealing with the things that we need them to, so that we can get on and continue to push, to make things happen, to strive for the things that we want? And when we do this, we are invariably disappointed. We are felt empty, betrayed, as though maybe our time, our energy, our resources have been wasted. They've been misused. Or even sometimes that they have been stolen from us. People tend to break the trust that we place in them. Not always, and definitely not always on purpose. But it is human nature not to measure up, not to get things right all the time, and not to let others down. Think how many times you have been let down and how this makes you feel. It is part of life, sadly. But there is one who will never let you down. He is our hope. And he alone is the place where we should be placing our trust. We need to be doing it personally. We need to be doing that corporately. We need to be looking to God, trusting in his word, living into a new way of life that he is calling us to. Jeremiah chapter 1, which was read to us today, verse 4 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now that is God speaking to Jeremiah. Every single one of those words were for Jeremiah to hear. They are not, as some people would have, words for you to take as God speaking to you. It was building Jeremiah up for the call that God had placed on his life, for the mission and the ministry to which he was being sent. Now, having said that, I believe some of those words God does speak to each and every one of us. I believe he speaks in the same way. And I believe strongly that he would say something very similar, that he knows us, that he knows you, that he has known you since before you were born, that he formed you in your mother's womb, and that he is calling you to be a worker for his kingdom. You see, there is purpose for every single one of us. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. For Jeremiah, that was to be a prophet to the nations. For others in the Bible, it was to be leaders of men, such as Samson and David. It was to be preparers of the way, such as John the Baptist, or teachers of the gospel, such as Paul, to name just a few. And there are many others you can go to and look at the lives of in Scripture to see what God asked them to do and how he helped them through it, as you ask those same questions of yourself. See, you, me, every single person who has given their life to Christ, who declares themselves to be one of his disciples, has a specific role and task within his kingdom. And Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 11, reminds us that whatever we do, we should be doing it for the glory of God. It is for him that we do all things. It is because of him that we are able to do all things. Now, God told Jeremiah to not be afraid, to trust in him. He said specifically, I put my words in your mouth, because Jeremiah was a bit concerned. I'm a little bit too young to be saying those things, God. Who's going to take me seriously? And each person here, as members of the church, as members of the body of Christ, has been given gifts to help them function in the role and the task to which God is asking of them. You have received from God something to help you do what he is asking you to do. He equips those who he calls. And fear has no place in your life. Don't let it take hold. Instead, trust in God. Trust that he is using you, that he wants to continue to use you, to be putting yourself in that place for him to do just that. Trust that he is in control. Accept him and what he wants to do in you and through you. Be praying, your will, not my will, be done. And what is God's will? God's will is that we be driven by love. Not only even remotely driven, but entirely driven. Entirely driven to trust in him and to allow his love to embrace us, to engulf us, and to flow through us. And that cannot happen if we live in fear. But when we speak of love, we're not talking about a feeling that we get when we think of a family member or a spouse or a friend, or come to think of it, our favourite sports team. I often say I love Newcastle United. But do I really love Newcastle United? Not as much as I love my wife, and definitely not as much as I love God. Do I fear for Newcastle United all the time? Do I live in fear of God? No. We're not talking about love as the world sees love. We're talking about an outward looking, totally unselfish love that, if we're honest with ourselves, goes against every natural instinct and inclination and desire that we have as human beings. You see, when we work from this place of love, from a place of true love that only God can give us, then we get to be incredibly useful for his kingdom. We get to see beauty. We get to see relevance. We get to tune in to God. Love is what should be defining us. Our love for one another, just as Jesus says, that's how the world will know you are my disciples. It is because of your love for one another. But also defined by our love for others, for those who are not yet part of his body, those who live outside of knowing Jesus. And I get that love is not always easy. Trust me, I do get that. It's not easy to give in all situations. It's not easy either to receive love in all situations. I've always, since a young boy, taken my mother's example, really, to be a giver. And I've been blessed to be able to do that for most of my life. But I remember a small time when I'd given up work, I'd cashed in my pension, and I lived on that I had as I was doing an internship at a church. I was trying to decide what is it that God wanted me to do with my life. And as I was there, one of the women in the church, she wanted to buy me a coffee. We just had a Bible study in the local coffee shop, and I'd had enough money to buy my coffee for the Bible study, but then I was out of money. And she wanted to buy me this coffee, and I would not let her. I don't know why I wouldn't let her when I look back on it, but it was just one of those things I didn't do. I wasn't someone who received, I was someone who gave. I could love other people, but I couldn't receive love from others. And she rebuked me. She challenged my thinking. And I accepted that coffee. And it was one of the best coffees I have ever had. And I've never turned down a coffee since. I've never turned down giving other people the opportunity to love. That's a challenge for some of us in this room to have to really live into. Yes, it's good to give. But yes, it's good to receive. Not just from God to bless others, but allow God to bless us through others. You might be able to relate to that, you might not. But I'm sure you can all think of a time in your younger years when your parents stopped you from doing something that you really wanted to do. For some of you, that might be a little bit closer in memory than for others. But we don't tend to forget things our parents teach us. We don't forget really wanting to do something and your parents, your mum or your dad saying, you're not doing that. I used to have a quick response of, but everyone else is doing it. And my mum and dad would say, we don't care what everybody else is doing, you're not. Because they had my best interest at heart. As your parents would have yours. They loved you enough to stop you from doing something which you would later regret or which would impact a direction in your life that you are being steered toward. That's difficult love. It's difficult to love someone in that way. My kids, when they're banging each other over the head because they're having fun and they're enjoying it, and I've got to say, just stop, it's all right. Let's do something different. They're having a lot of fun, but they're going to get hurt. Do I love them more to stop them being hurt and being the bad guy? Yes, I have to be the bad guy. Because that is the best love in that situation. When we act in real love, when we put others first, and not their feelings necessarily, but them, that is true love. And as disciples of Christ, we are called to make disciples that can make disciples. At the core of that love needs to be that person's relationship with Jesus. The love that he has for them and the love that he instills in them for others. See, what we do not want to be as followers of Jesus is theologically liberal, where we say, welcome one and all. Come in. You don't need to change. You can be yourself. You're exactly fine just the way you are. Because that isn't really a true representation of the gospel. But on the other hand, we don't want to be a moralistic church where we say, welcome. You can only come if you've got yourself together. You can only come if you're a good person. If you keep the rules. If you're cleaned up and you stay clean. With signs on the walls that say, sinners not welcome. Because that is also not a true reflection of the gospel. That doesn't represent Christ's message. What we need to be doing as disciples of Christ is setting out to make disciples that can make disciples. And the only way we can do that is to spread the message of the gospel. To be teaching the ways of Jesus. To say, yes, all are welcome. But also to be saying it is about turning our life to a life of submission. Whereby we allow ourselves to be changed by Christ. When we start to live in to and we start to love the things that God loves. We know that God is in control. That with him all things are possible. And we may not always see that God is doing things. We may not always be able to identify exactly what God is doing. We may find it difficult to step into living in a way that looks about and sees more and more. We may be a little fearful about saying we want to hear where God is at work. Because if we hear it and we see it, then we're going to have to respond more rapidly to it. But we are surely wanting to have eyes to see and ears to hear. We want to be able to be in the mix of it all. Knowing that he is in control, but that he is calling us to be in his team. In his family. And so it all comes back to that issue of trust. It may not be plain and easy to see God's plan, but we have to trust in him. We have to stick to accepting that he has got this. So let's keep praying for, let's keep living into a life which says, not my will, but your will be done. Let's have an attitude that says God can and that God will. Let's trust him. Let's share him. And let's be driven by love, because all else comes and goes, but love remains constant. And when we're in Christ, when we're connected to the Father through the Son and the atoning act on that cross, then we have to be people who love. Because love came first. He loved us first. We became an extension of him when we said yes. We're able to go out into this world, a world which is crying out to be loved. And we're able to take the only cure that there is. Love is constant because Christ is constant. And you've got Christ. So you've got love. But it's not yours to keep. It's yours to give. So be givers. Be lovers of others. Be lovers of this world. Let's turn to prayer.